Let's lift our hands. Praise God. It's all about you, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sometimes the Holy Ghost comes in like a rushing mighty wind. Sometimes he flows like a healing balm. I believe he's healing hearts right now, healing his people. Hallelujah. Claim what you need right now from God. The presence of the Lord is here. We love you, Jesus. Heal us, oh God. Heal your body. Heal us individually. Heal our hearts. Our spirits, I pray, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to go to the Lord in prayer. We pray for this service. Let's pray for everyone who's not here, who is receiving this online. Pray for Pastor Roy, who's battling what my understanding is an ear infection. Double ear infection. He's not here tonight for that reason, so please keep him in prayer. We all know other members of the body who are in need tonight. Let's pray together in Jesus' name. Lord, we thank you, Father, for your holy presence. We thank you, God, for what you are already doing in this place. We pray especially for Pastor Roy. We pray, oh God, for Brother Tom Nelson, for Brother Pat Huber, for Sister Pat Puckett, Lord, for these many brothers and sisters that seem so many of us, oh God, to have run into difficulties at a difficult time. I know, God, that you are with us. I pray, God, manifest your presence. I pray for miracles, oh God, and signs and wonders, even tonight, by your word and by your presence. We pray, oh God, for your presence in this place to be manifest, that the hearts and the minds of your people, of each of us, oh God, that we can allow you, Lord, to do what you want to do. Anoint me, I pray, for your purpose. Help us, God, to respond to your leadership according to your will, that your will be done in Jesus' name. Praise God. Hallelujah. You may be seated. We want to remind you of the giving options. You can mail to 5301 Commercial Avenue. You can text to give. I thought there was a new way to do it through Toy Story or something, but 608-719-3883. You never know, modern technology. And identify your offering as tithes or offering. This Friday, drive-in movie night at 9 o'clock. Amen. Toy Story. Oh, that's what, yeah. One of the classics. Next week, Monday through Wednesday, all church, 3 days of prayer and fasting. Praise God. Everyone said, woo! Yeah, whether you mean it or not. But I think it's so needful. The time is right. I believe God will use this, use each of us that participate. It'll make a difference. So 3 days of prayer and fasting, Monday through Wednesday next week. Saturday, August 22nd, back to school bash. All right, so despite the uncertainty of all the reopening of schools, just how and each school district is going to do it, we're going to collect and pass out school supplies to the community in a drive-through back-to-school bash. Sister Stephanie Thompson is the coordinator of this. And if you will, please bring school supply donations and place them in the blue barrels that will be in the lobby. Or you can give financially, designating back-to-school bash in any of the number of ways of giving that we just talked about. Designate back-to-school bash, and the supplies will be purchased with that money. Amen. Still getting used to this shortened format. I feel like there's something else we should do, but I'm not going to introduce myself, but I'm preaching. So if you want to open your Bibles, if you would stand, we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. And we're going to read to verse 12. And I want to speak this evening on who are you wrestling with? And I put a note in my notes that I know it isn't proper grammar, but that's my title. Who are you wrestling with? Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Let's pray again, please, in Jesus' name. Lord, help us, each of us, here to hear your voice. I pray, help me, God, to speak the words that need to be heard. Anoint this time for everyone who is here and those who are hearing online and who will hear in the future, that your word can have its way in our hearts and our minds. We submit to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Hallelujah. Who are you wrestling with? Many years ago, I was a wrestler in high school. For a couple of years, I wrestled. And, of course, things are very different today. Now I wrestle to put my socks on. If you can believe it, I used to wrestle in the 98-pound weight class. Today, I could wrestle in two separate 98-pound weight class matches at the same time. And there would be some of me left over to watch. But even the rules are a little bit different today in high school wrestling. I'm not even sure of all the changes that have been made. But I know it's somewhat different. But back then, I think they still do this. We started out, each wrestler started by standing. And you spent 2 minutes trying to take the other person down and pin him to the mat. Or at least control him for those 2 minutes or three periods. And the first one, you started out trying to get what is called a takedown. And that means to get a hold of the other person, to get them onto the mat and gain control over their movements. And for a takedown, it was really important to get that first takedown. And some wrestlers were actually takedown artists, they called them. That's what they did. They just focused on getting takedowns. They'd take the other guy down, let him up, take him down again, let him up, take him down again, because you get 2 points every time you take the opponent down. But not only that, if you get the takedown at the beginning of the match, you get you're ahead by 2 points, but you're also in control. And that's what wrestling is all about, is about getting control of your opponent. The takedown was the beginning. Very important. The Bible says that we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against powers and principalities. This is talking about the enemy of our souls, of course. It's talking about the devil and all of his minions. That's who we're fighting against. Spiritual forces, enemies that we cannot see, that we cannot grasp with our hands. But it's still about control. Because that's what the enemy wants, is to get control. He wants to have control of our thoughts. He wants to have control of our lives, of our minds, of our time. If he can control our emotions, he knows he's got a takedown and he's ahead in the match. But we cannot let the devil control our lives. Now, high school wrestling today is more advanced. They're probably doing things that in my day they did at the college level. They're integrating a lot of stuff. And there were a certain number of moves that you learned as basics. If you were to, in order to do the takedown, one is a single leg takedown, double leg takedown. We did an ankle trip. We did a head shuck. I don't know what everyone else called it, but that's what we called it. And one of my favorite moves was to step through and get a fireman's carry. Because once I had the guy on my shoulders, there wasn't much he could do till I put him down. There are certain moves that I learned and practiced over and over and over again. And the enemy has his tricks as well. And the scripture tells us that it boils down to three basic areas in which he's practiced for thousands of years to try and take you and me down and get control of our lives. John says in his epistles that the three things that are in the world are the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. And the enemy has been using these areas, tricks in these three areas of humanity's lives from the beginning. We go back to the Garden of Eden and we see that he used the same technique. And actually, wrestlers today will watch film of their opponent to recognize certain techniques and certain movements that will give away what the opponent is going to do so that you're aware of it ahead of time. The Bible says that we should not be ignorant of his devices. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood. He's got the same tricks he's always used. For 2 minutes, the wrestlers try to gain control and keep control of the other. And at the end of those 2 minutes, if no one has been pinned, the referee blows the whistle or the horn goes off and they both get up. And there's a determination, and we flipped a two-color card is what we did back then. And whichever color was up, you got to decide whether you wanted to be up or down in the second period. There were three periods, and the last two periods were either up or down to start the period. And what that means is the person who's down is on all fours. I was thinking about a demonstration, but I thought it'd be a little much. Besides, I might not be able to finish the message. So, the person who's down is down on all fours, and the other person gets beside them and grabs an arm and wraps their hand around their waist and starts out in a control position. Again, always about control. Who's in control of my life? Who's in control of your life? Who's in control of your thoughts? Who's in control of my emotions? So if you start out the second period with the opponent in control, you're at a disadvantage. And if the devil's in control of any area of our lives, we have a disadvantage. Now, when you're on the bottom, you already have in mind, you're in this position on all fours, and you're looking at the referee, and the guy behind you has got his hand on you, and the instant he blows that whistle, you have a move. You have something in your head you're gonna do, and you're going to shoot out of there as fast as you can and as much as possible. You're either going to try and reach back and sit through is what we used to call it. I don't know what they call it today. Or you're going to try and stand up and break free. You're going to try and there are two things that you're trying to do when you start out on the bottom. One is escape. The Bible says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Don't put yourself in a situation where he's in control, and if you find out that you've done so, do everything you can to get out of there. Because we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against spiritual wickedness, powers and principalities. And if you can escape, that's a good thing. 1 point. Only one, because now you're back to start. It's good to escape the wiles of the devil, but then you have to establish control again. He doesn't have control of you, but you're not really in control either. And too often, what we do in our walk with God is we eliminate something from our life, or we get out of a situation in our life, but we don't replace it with something positive. We don't take control of that area. We just try and get away from it. But what you really want to do when you're down, when you're on the bottom, is have a move in mind that will allow you to get a reversal. Because what that means is you turn it around and now you're on top, you're in control. That's 2 points. And again, it's not just the points, it's the fact that you're now in control. You're on the offensive and he's on the defensive. He's got to react to you. And everything he does, you can react from a position of power. That's why it's so important for us to get control of our lives. Because otherwise we're reacting to the enemy. And he's taking it to us. Jesus wants to set us free. We need to escape some things. We need to escape fear. We need to escape doubt. We need to escape unbelief. We need to escape lust. We need to escape pride. We need to escape anger. We need to escape bitterness. We need to escape all the works of the flesh. So that we can take control of our lives. Praise God. The Bible says that he who the Son has set free is free indeed. Of course, in high school wrestling, not in all-star wrestling, but in high school wrestling, the ultimate goal is to pin the opponent. I suppose it is in the WWE too, but you got to have a good show before that happens. Or whatever it is called these days. The ultimate goal is to pin the opponent, to have total control and hold that opponent's shoulders to the mat for 3 seconds. And when you have your opponent in that position, you're trying to press his shoulders down, however you're doing it, and you're watching the referee, and he's down there. A lot of times they get their face like 2 inches from his shoulder to make sure they get, and all you can see is his hand doing this. And you want that third flick of the wrist, because then he goes, and you know you won the match. There's no greater feeling than knowing that you have gotten the victory over the enemy. Praise God. Jesus Christ wants us to take control of our lives and live victoriously. We can overcome sin and temptation and maintain control through Christian disciplines and godly living. Hallelujah. We can get to the point where there is no further opportunity, where we're not going to let the devil have another opportunity to take us down and gain control over our lives. Amen. One thing that we have, and they still have in wrestling, is weight classes. That's one of the reasons I joined wrestling, because I was such a small person. My first year, I was a freshman in high school, and I was a 98-pound wrestler, but I only weighed 95 pounds. So that's why I went out for wrestling in the first place. They don't even have the 98-pound weight class anymore in high school, because I guess kids are bigger these days or something. But there's a gradation, and there used to be, I don't know how many there are now, I think there are 10, there used to be, I think, 12 weight classes. And you wrestle, always wrestle someone in your own weight class. And some guys try to lose weight, I mean, just do outlandish things to lose weight. I remember when I was still on a junior varsity, my good friend who got me into wrestling in the first place went out all night the night before and decided he didn't want to wrestle on a Saturday morning at a tournament. And by this time, I weighed all of about 102 pounds. And I had to get down to 98 pounds in about an hour and a half. So I put on a rubber suit and got a big wad of bubble gum and went in this little room, not much bigger than a closet, and they turned up the radiator to about 150 degrees. And I ran in place and spit in the bucket and spit in the bucket and ran sweating. And I lost about 4 pounds in about an hour and a half. I didn't have any strength left to wrestle that day, but I made weight. But I do remember that on our wrestling team, I had to look at my old yearbook to get the guy's name right. There was a guy who was a year or two older than I was, and his name was Gary Riley, if I have it right. His last name was Riley. I think it was Gary. And he was, again, I was one of the smallest people around in my class, but he was tall. Everybody was tall from where I was concerned, but he was taller. But he didn't have much weight on his bones. He just was a big framed person. And the top two weight classes were 185 and then heavyweight. So, and the range for the 185 class, I'm not sure what it was. I think it was like does anyone know, like 205 or 210 or something like that? It was just around the 200 mark, just over the 200 mark. And the thing is that Gary, he was a super nice guy. Just quiet, soft-spoken, good-hearted guy. He was, in high school, a couple years difference. Sometimes the upperclassmen, they don't have time for sophomores or freshmen, but he was always friendly, and I had a good relationship with him, and I actually felt sorry for him because he was like 1 or 2 pounds out of the 185-pound weight class. And the heavyweight division, all the heavyweight division has is a bottom. It doesn't have a top. So you can weigh 450 pounds and wrestle heavyweight. Well, we had a couple guys that pushed 300 in our conference, more than 300. And poor Gary was like 200 pounds, which is like less than me right now. And he had such a big heart, but he was always outweighed and outgunned. It just never seemed fair. The devil is not fair. He's never going to be fair. He is not in the business of being truthful. He is not in the business of doing things that are good for you. The Bible says that Moses chose not to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, that's a revelation in itself for some new Christians, the fact that the Bible admits that there's pleasure in sin, but it's only for a season. The devil is our enemy, and the things of the world, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life are his tools that he's using. He is a liar and the father of all lies, the Bible says. We have an enemy that is like a roaring lion going to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Sometimes we forget that this is a real life and death wrestling match that we're engaged in. Poor Gary, always wrestling, always outweighed by at least 30 pounds, sometimes by as much as 80 to 100 pounds, going out there and wrestling, and always had a good attitude, but he was always outgunned, outmatched. And at times I was so glad that I was such a little guy and I only had to wrestle with people my size. But we serve a great big God. We got the biggest, baddest heavyweight in the conference. And he's greater than any devil. He's greater than any temptation. He's greater than any failure that we have in our lives. He's greater than any sin that we have committed if only we will rely on him. He can pin any problem that we have to the mat once and for all. Praise God. Amen. Now, there used to be in professional, so-called professional wrestling match, a thing called 2 out of 3 falls. Anybody remember 2 out of 3 falls? That was the way they used to do it back in the 20s and the 30s. You know, if you ever see a wrestling in the Laurel and Hardy film, that's what they were doing. 2 out of 3 falls. 3 matches between 2 wrestlers, and you had to win 2 out of 3 bouts. And usually the first bout was Greco-Roman style wrestling, which is entirely different than what we do in high school here. And then there is the freestyle wrestling, which is a variation of the Greco-Roman style. And then the third fall was determined by the toss of a coin. And I'm here to tell you that wrestling 3 different ways would be a challenge for anyone who was experienced in wrestling. But to have to win 2 out of 3 is the goal. And that makes me recall that we may fail once in a while. We may not win every time we go out to face the enemy. But our God is a God of second chances. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Too often we as Christians are fooled into thinking that if we fail once or if we stumble and fall, there's no redemption. There's no way we can make things right. There's no way that God can cover this great sin. And perhaps it's an area where you have failed time and again. But we don't just get 3 chances. We get to return to a loving Savior whose grace and mercy endure forever, the Bible says. Maybe you feel like you've lost the battle. I've talked to people who feel overwhelmed during this time of pandemic. I felt overwhelmed at times by the pandemic and the things that have come up in my life in recent times. But I'm here to tell you that there's more than one round in this match called life. And like Yogi Berra said, it ain't over till it's over. And if you can hear my voice tonight, it ain't over. Praise God. Jesus Christ will give you. Jesus Christ will give me. Jesus Christ will give us the strength and the will that we need to get up off the mat and to go again for another round. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. 1 John 4:4 says, "You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." Amen. But not all of our wrestling is with the enemy of our soul. Sometimes we actually wrestle with the Savior of our soul. Genesis 32:25 says, "And when he saw that he prevailed not," talking about Jacob, "against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh, and the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, 'Let me go, for the day breaketh.' And he said, 'I will not let thee go, except thou bless me.' And he said unto him, 'What is thy name?' And he said, 'Jacob.' Now the angel says, 'Thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed.' And Jacob asked him and said, 'Tell me, I pray thee, thy name.' And he said, 'Wherefore is it that thou hast asked after my name?' And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, For I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And as he passed over Penuel, the sun rose upon him, and he halted upon his thigh. This story has always been something of an anomaly in my mind. Why would God engage in a wrestling match with a man? And how does a man even begin to wrestle with God? You know, all-powerful, omniscient God who knows what we're going to do before we do it. Creator of the heavens and the earth. The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. At least two times in the book of Numbers, he consumed hundreds by just releasing fire. And now Jacob is wrestling with the angel of God. How can that be? One thing that God will not do is overrule the will of a human being. So in my mind, what's happening here is it is the Lord wrestling with the will and the mind of Jacob, manifest in a physical contest. I know God will deal with us concerning our will, concerning our heart. I've been in a wrestling match with God over his will and my will before. God will allow circumstances to test us, as we have so painfully learned in the last several months. And hopefully these circumstances will help us to change our will according to his will. I don't know about you, but I've done some wrestling with God recently, trying to figure out just what his will was and what my will ought to be. And the reason that Jacob was in this place, the reason that Jacob was having this wrestling match, was because he had unfinished business with his family. The angel asked him, what is your name? Why ask him his name? He knows what his name is. It's like any other time God asks us a question. It's not because he's looking for an answer. It's because he wants us to answer. He wants us to recognize what the answer is. He wants us to commit our will to him. He wants us to submit to him what we have found out that he has shown us. When God is dealing with us in this time of spiritual and emotional testing that it just seems to never end, we've got to realize that God is asking us a question. And it may be a different question for you than it is for me. It may be a different element of life that he's bringing up in your heart and in your mind. But he's asking us a question, and he's looking for us to give him the proper answer. Not because he doesn't know, but because he wants to bring us to that place where we recognize his will. What's your name? Well, Jacob, it appears, Jacob hesitated. He didn't want to answer that question. And maybe the reason he struggled with that was because the last time that his name was an issue was when he was standing before his father and pretending to be Esau. And the question was, what is your name? And he lied to his father and said, I'm Esau. Give me the blessing. So in this wrestling match, it was God's desire to bring Jacob back to the place where he was going to confront the element of his life that was preventing him from fulfilling the will of God and fulfilling the promises of God. And maybe in your heart, and maybe in my life, God's confronting us during this time. And we're wrestling with the will of God because he's trying to show us the things that we haven't dealt with yet, that we haven't overcome, that he wants to give us victory in these areas as we wrestle with his will. The angel took him back to the place where he really began to get off track when he lied to his father. He was wrestling with God because God was trying to show him some things about himself. I don't really think that this time of struggle, this pandemic pressure, is really about masks. I don't think it's really about who gets elected. I think it's really about God preparing his people for the things that he wants to do in the earth in these last days. He wants, when the wrestling match was over, and when Jacob had the conversation with the angel, and after he admitted who he was and recognized that he needed to be forthright about his own weaknesses and his own issues, it was then that the angel changed his name and said, "You are no longer going to be Jacob, but you will now be Israel, because you are a prince with God. You'll have power with God. I've changed your name because I'm changing you. And I pray that during this time I can allow God and his Holy Spirit to change me so that his name can be glorified." Praise God. In reading this story, I came across something that somehow I never realized before. I never caught it. And I've read Genesis many times. But if you'll turn to Genesis 35:1, you'll see it didn't end there. God said to Jacob, "Arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there, and make there an altar unto God that appeared unto thee when thou fleddest from the face of Esau thy brother." Again, God's recalling this first time when Jacob left home and he lay down on a rock and he saw what appeared to be a staircase or a ladder with the angels of the Lord ascending and descending. And he created an altar there before he went on his way. Verse 6, so Jacob came to Luz. He returned to that place, which is in the land of Canaan, that is Bethel. He and all the people that were with him, and he built there an altar and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared unto him when he fled from the face of his brother. I remember the day I was baptized in Jesus' name. May 1st, 1980, Calvary Gospel Church. The carpet was red. Really unattractive red. And the baptismal tank was behind the auditorium, behind the platform. And I remember coming out of that baptismal area, walking onto the platform, and the platform was about a third the size of this, maybe not even that big. And I walked out into the auditorium on the platform, and suddenly I realized that I felt very, very different. Something had changed between the time I went into the water and the time I came out of the water. I didn't realize it was going to be like that. And it was that day that Jesus Christ gave me a new name. I took on the name of Jesus in water baptism. And my life has never been the same since then. Jacob had an experience there in Luz. It changed his life. He was running from his brother, afraid for his life. He was going to a land that he didn't know. He was having to change his entire lifestyle. He was having to go and depend on people he hadn't met. Everything was different, but Jesus, the Lord, met him in the way. And From that moment forward, he had a promise from God that things were going to be different. That God was going to give and keep promises in his life. Praise God. My life changed the day my sins were washed away. And I claimed promises that I still hold on to today. And when I need to, when I need to get in touch with God, I go back to that place of prayer and repentance. And I remember that my sins have been washed away in the name of Jesus Christ. Praise God. Verse 9, God appeared unto Jacob again when he came out of Paddan Aram and blessed him. So this is after his visit to Luz, but God visited him again. Verse 10, and this is the thing that got my attention. God said unto him, thy name is Jacob. Thy name shall not be called anymore Jacob, but Israel shall be thy name. And he called his name Israel. But didn't that just happen a few chapters ago? Wasn't it already established? This is what I think is happening here. Not the Bible doesn't state this specifically, but I think what you remember the story the first time, Jacob sent everybody ahead, and he went back across the brook, and there he wrestled with the angel. He was on his own. He was by himself. There was no one there. And he was given the name Israel. I think that Jacob kept this to himself. I think that Jacob kept this a private thing. I think he continued to call himself Jacob. I think he was uncertain, perhaps, of just what to do with this experience. Anybody ever feel that way? But here God comes and appears to him again, and he's reiterating, he's confirming, he's assuring Jacob, your name is Israel. You have power with God. Call yourself Israel. I think everyone in this room, if not everyone, almost everyone in this room, has had an experience of the new birth. Baptized in Jesus' name, filled with the Holy Ghost. Your name is Jesus. Your life has been changed. You've got exceeding great and precious promises, but sometimes we get into a situation where we forget all about who we are. We forget about what God has done for us. We forget about what he's called us to, and we try to rely on our own strength to do the things that are in front of us. And I'm standing here before you tonight to remind you and to remind me and to let us know that God didn't save us so that we could all gather in one place and pat each other on the back, but that we are to share this experience. We are to spread the name of Jesus. We are to let people know that we have power with God, that we are princes of the Most High God, that our Father is the King, the Almighty. The name change was not a one-time thing. I didn't get just baptized in Jesus' name so that on one day I could have this experience. No, it wasn't meant to be a personal secret. He changes our name because he's changing us, and he wants us to reflect the name that he's given us. It's time to claim the name, to claim the power, to claim the authority that Jesus Christ has given us. This world is looking for an answer. They're looking for someone who can stand up to fear, who can stand up to doubt, who can stand up to unbelief, because it's rampant in our culture today. We cry out to God. We repent, and he responds. Jacob cried out to God there at Luz, and God responded. He shows us who we are, and he touches us so that we never walk the same. But it isn't meant to be just an experience. This is the hour for the church. This is the hour for me, the hour for you, to fulfill our call. to find our place in this world. We're called to live in the world, but not be of the world. This is the time for the kingdom of God to be manifest. It's time for us to claim the name of Jesus, to take the authority and the power of that name and to use it to reach the lost. Pandemic is all around us. Hardship and loss have affected us. Fear and difficulties everywhere we turn. But I have power with God. I have power with God. Say that with me. I have power with God. I have the name that is above every other name. Praise God. Sometimes we're not wrestling with the enemy. Neither are we wrestling with God. But we're fighting the worst battle, and that's the battle with ourselves. Romans 7 says, verse 14, "For we know that the law is spiritual, but I'm carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do." I'm reading from the New King James Version. "If then I do what I will not do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." Even if you're not following every word of this, I think we understand the feeling of it. Is the struggle to do the right thing. "For the good that I will to do, I do not do, but the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, bringing into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." And I can identify with this. "O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death?" Sometimes we want to blame others. We want to blame our past. We want to blame God. We want to blame the devil. We want to fight it out with people. We want to wrestle with God. But the one we're really wrestling with is ourself. And it's times like this, it brings out the worst in us. Jesus said in Mark 8, "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." You know, sometimes, we're running out of time, so I'll be brief. Sometimes people with a hardship in life or a troubled relationship or something goes wrong that just never seems to go away, they make this statement, "Well, I guess it's just my cross to bear." That's not the cross that Jesus is talking about. Jesus isn't talking about the hardship in your life when he talks about the cross. He's not talking about the fact that you're shorter than you want to be, or that you have dietary problems, or that you have a sickness that won't go away. That's not the cross. That's life. Now, I'm not trying to be flippant, but that's not what our cross is. That's not what Jesus meant. The cross is not meant to be a source of constant suffering for us. That's not what that means. The cross is meant to be the place where we crucify the flesh through repentance. It's where we get rid of the past of our sin. It's where we eliminate life without faith. It's where we leave our dependence on our own human nature. That's how we pick up our cross. The cross is the place where we take on the name of Jesus and bury the old man in water baptism. The cross is the key that opens the door to the new life that we receive when we're filled with the Holy Ghost. It's a benefit to pick up the cross. Paul answered his own question in Romans 7 about who can save him from this body of death. Verse 25, I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Let's stand. Praise God. We are all wrestling with something. If you're not wrestling with something, then you're not living for God. Even the best wrestlers can't just go out on the mat and just hang on till the end. They have to wrestle. 3 2-minute periods, 6 minutes. I think that's still the time of a high school wrestling match. 6 minutes. That doesn't sound like a very long time, does it? 6 minutes. A basketball game is at least 40 minutes. A football game, some of them are 4 15-minute quarters, depending on what level you're playing at. 6 minutes. But for those 6 minutes, you're using every ounce of strength from the bottom of your feet to the top of your head. You're striving with every muscle in your body to control another human being, and you're burning up all of the energy that you have. I can tell you that after 6 minutes in an active wrestling match, you are used up. But if we're going to get the victory, if we're going to live for Jesus Christ, if we're going to have an impact on this world, then we're going to have to wrestle. We can't just hang on. Because if you're just trying to hang on, the enemy is wrestling with all his might. And it doesn't matter how much Bible you know or how often you go to church. If you're just hanging on, you're going to lose the battle. We've got to wrestle. We've got to fight. Maybe the best we can hope for is 2 out of 3 falls, but God wants us to win. He called us to be victorious. He called us and empowered us to be overcomers, victors. We have power with God. We have the name above every other name. He has prepared a way for each of us. Let me say that again. He's already prepared a way for you to make it through this. Not only in this life, but in eternity. He said, I go to prepare a place for you so that when you come, it's ready. Praise God. Whatever you're wrestling with today, why don't you come? Let Jesus Christ show you what it is that he wants to change. Maybe it hasn't even occurred to you yet what God's trying to tell you, what he's trying to show you. Maybe he wants to do something that you have trouble believing for. He wants to take you to the next level. I believe that God is trying to usher us into a time and a place where the church is manifest with signs and wonders and miracles. I don't know what that means or how it happens, but it has to happen through us. Maybe that's where we're at. Maybe this doesn't go away until we start laying hands on people and seeing them recover. Maybe that's what we're here for. For such a time as this, the Bible says, we've been brought to the kingdom. What are you wrestling with? What does God want to change? Where does he want to take you? Maybe someplace you've never been before. What he can do in you, what he can do for you, what he can do to you. He wants to do it in his name. Praise God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's pray. Are you the one he's trying to do something new with? Go ahead. I am not limited by time. I am not limited by strength. I have given you time. I have given you strength to do the thing that I've called you to do. This is the hour that I have prepared you for. This is the day that I've called you to. I know your name. I have known it from before you were born. And I promise that I have prepared a place for you if you will follow me, saith the Lord. Praise God. I really believe that there are some here tonight that are beginning to get a hold of the call of God on your life. Beginning to believe promises that you did not think are possible. Reach out now to the Holy Ghost. Reach out to God and let him confirm his word with signs following. Let him work in your life. Let him do the things that in your heart you really want him to do. Come and surrender. Come and pray. There's room here. If you don't feel comfortable coming down, then please make it a point to let God speak to your heart personally before you go. God's doing a work here tonight. Praise God.